I can't tell you how much I've thought about what I'd say to my childhood bullies if I ran into them today. If you've ever been bullied, you've probably had similar revenge fantasies. But you probably haven't taken it to the extreme that Alan Kurzweil has. He actually tracked down his childhood bully. Kurzweil is a novelist. He writes about the experience in a book called Whipping Boy, The 40-Year Search for My 12-Year-Old Bully. Kurzweil's story starts at a boarding school in Switzerland named Eglon. He's a 10-year-old Jewish kid, and his bully is named Caesar Augustus.
In winter of 1971, there was a musical that had an international celebrity, Jesus Christ Superstar. And perhaps because of his name, perhaps because of my religious identity, whatever the reason, Caesar channeled his Baroque capacities for humiliation into a theatrical event at the top floor of our room. He reproduced one of the songs from Jesus Christ Superstar, The 39 Lashes, along with his henchmen. I remember vividly tying me up and whipping me to a soundtrack that was simply the enumeration of whipping from 1 to 39.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
At each interval, the listener hears the sound, the crack of the whip. But Caesar, true to fashion, actually put his own personal spin on that number in that he didn't always lay the belt against my back when he was pantomiming this song. He took as much, if not greater, pleasure in acting as if he were about to whip me, pausing and stopping. And I can remember more vividly than just about anything else, this grimace, this kind of rictus of pleasure that spread over his lips as he watched me flinch in anticipation of a belt that did not, in fact, make contact.
Ooh, that sounds really traumatizing. He's got his henchmen there, and then there are other kids, and I guess they're laughing.
Yeah, there was all of that. There was the humiliation that comes with a bunch of boys watching you suffer. But I don't think that was the defining and propelling moment of my relationship with Caesar. I think that is tethered to his connection to the loss, theft, disappearance of an extremely important object that I had taken with me from home as a sort of talisman and security blanket. And that object was my father's wristwatch. My father died when I was 5. My father was a Viennese emigre, a brilliant inventor and engineer. And when he passed away, I inherited very few things from him. But the one that I cherished most was an Omega Seamaster wristwatch. This was my totem. This was my talisman. And this was my rosebud. And I can still resurrect the sense of panic when I discovered that the watch was gone. I was completely gutted by the terror of sudden awareness that this timepiece, this connection to my dad, was missing. And I instantly suspected some dorm room conspiracy, immediately presumed that Caesar was somehow implicated in the disappearance. It took me a couple of days to find out what happened. Eventually, it surfaced that not Caesar, but his sidekick, was convinced to launch the watch into the snow. That's what happened, or at least that's what I was told happened, and the watch was never recovered.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. So you leave the Swiss boarding school and you move on to the next phase of your life. You get married, and you and your wife Françoise are in your mid-20s, and you're living in Paris. Can you tell me about that?
We played hooky from our respective projects one day and decided to take a walk through the Louvre. As we were going through the Louvre, I was stopped dead in my tracks in front of this gray silk screen scene of a flagellation. I found myself looking at this scene of Christ strapped to a cross being whipped. And Françoise knew enough of the story of Switzerland to say, ah oui, le César. It was Caesar, wasn't it, that you're thinking of? I said, yeah, I am thinking about him. She asked me, do you ever wonder what happened to him? And I said, sure, quite often. So she said, well, why don't you find out?
Aha. So you start doing some research. Fast forward several years and we have the internet. That must have made it that much easier for you to track down Caesar.
About 0.63 seconds after I typed in his rather distinguished name, Caesar Augustus Viana III, I got a hit.
Hmm.
The first hit that I got informed me that Caesar Augustus Viana was a professor of chemistry and a philanthropist. And I have to say, I was profoundly disappointed at this news. It didn't seem right. But to my considerable relief, further digging revealed that, in fact, the Caesar Augustus in question was not my roommate, but a man 10 years our senior.
Okay.
So that was a false positive, and then there was another one. But eventually, I never thought I would ever say this, but God bless the New York Post. It had an article about a quartet of swindlers who claimed to be the Prince of Serbia and his retinue. And the four of them managed to fleece a bunch of New York entrepreneurs out of millions of dollars. And the roper in this whole scheme was a man named Caesar Augustus.
So now you've tracked down Caesar and you meet with him. Tell me about that, about meeting with him.
It was terrifying. It shouldn't have been terrifying. I dragged my feet for more than a year before I screwed up the courage to actually fly out to California. He had been released from prison. And it was only because my editor pushed me that I actually screwed up the courage to confront my childhood nemesis. I dragged my feet because I didn't want to confront the 12-year-old. In fact, I met him a couple of times and managed to tease out his version of what had happened as far as his prosecution, his unfair prosecution. He, to this day, insists that he's completely innocent of any criminal activity and that he would never hurt anybody. But in any case, eventually, I did confront him and reveal that the motive force behind my inquiry was the things that he had done to me when I was 10.
So the first time you met with Caesar, did he remember you?
He did not. In fact, he insisted that we never even roomed together.
Huh.
This kind of amnesia was actually not restricted to me. Facebook at the time had a couple of people who also recalled their run-ins with Caesar. And when I mentioned a couple of the postings and the names of the boys who had recalled his misbehaviors, he said, I have no idea who that person is. The book came out actually after an article in The New Yorker appeared. When the article, also called Whipping Boy, appeared in The New Yorker, I received thousands of responses, including three boys, whom I did not know at the time, who sent letters of thanks to say that they too had been tormented by Caesar. And I met a few of them subsequently, and they filled out my memories with memories of their own.
Hmm. Did Caesar ever apologize to you?
He left a rather compelling voicemail on my phone.
Hi, Alan. Caesar just realized that the most important thing that hasn't been said is that I apologize to you for whatever I may have caused. And I'm sorry about that. I really didn't realize until you told me that you've been looking for me since 91 that I didn't know how important this is for you. And I fully respect that, and I know how it feels. As I've told you, I'm still dealing with it to this day from time to time.
But he did not go so far as to acknowledge that, in fact, he had done any of the things that I say, that I recalled having done. He then rescinded that apology, in a manner of speaking.
So your story raises a couple of bigger questions. Can people really change? And if they can, do we really want them to? What do you think?
I think people can change, absolutely. I think people can heal. I believe I've transcended the shame and the anguish and the pain of that childhood experience. That's not to say I don't have the scars, but I prefer to see them as badges rather than marks of shame. So I do think that I am stronger. The bullying turned out to be to be a blessing in many ways, an opportunity to bring me closer to my family, closer to my father. So I think I see dividends and benefits actually having emerged out of all of these painful experiences.
Alan Kurzweil is the author of Whipping Boy, The 40-Year Search for My 12-Year-Old Bully.